You take your Bibles, please, in our few minutes together tonight. I wanted to finish up with you what I began last week in Habakkuk. You know, this short little book is such a powerful book. It's a man who is struggling with the death throes of his country. It's not easy to watch your beloved country be destroyed by another nation, but they had already come down. They were already surrounding the city of Jerusalem. The people of Babylon were making it known that they wanted unconditional surrender. And here's Habakkuk. He's called of God to minister to the people. And he is struggling with what is taking place. And he's asking God all kinds of questions. You come to chapter 2 and verse 4, you see him coming to the place, the just shall live by faith. You know, that means something. That's such an important, basic truth to the child of God. It's not just about salvation. All right? A lot of people just limit that, just hone it right now. That's just talking about salvation. You don't understand it if that's all you're coming away with. The just shall what? Live by faith. When I come to Christ, before I'm saved, I'm not living. I'm dying. But in Jesus Christ, when I'm justified by faith in Him, I really begin to live, as Romans chapter 8 tells us. That's when we really begin to live. And the just shall live, how? By faith. That's not just talking about the moment you get saved. Well, I exercise faith. No, it's talking about every day of your life is to be lived by faith. And that includes when your nation's fixing to go down. And that's where Habakkuk was. His nation was about to be taken into captivity, and he didn't know what to think. He didn't know how to respond to all this. How do I minister to these people that are constantly coming up to me and saying, God's not watching over us. God's not protecting us. Why is this happening? And God was giving him messages to take. The people are not living by what? Faith. They're living by their wits. They're living by their ambitions. They're living by all the plans that they've planned. And God said, but they're not living by faith. And so I'm going to judge them. So Habakkuk had to take all of this in. When we get to chapter 3 is the pinnacle where the light comes on in Habakkuk's life. He begins to realize God takes him through a quick tour of history. In a vision, allows him to be able to see the whole of history up to this point of God judging Israel. This little bitty nation in the middle of the Middle East, God's judging it and shows him the throes of creation, the violence, the upheaval that took place when that which had no form and was void all of a sudden comes to life with greenery. As God speaks things into existence, and you have all of the formations of water and earth and greenery, and the world and outer space turns from a black planet to what? A green and blue planet. Isn't it interesting that Earth is the most beautiful planet in our solar system? It's the only beautiful planet in our solar system. We've landed on Mars, and I'm going to tell you something, I haven't seen a whole lot that impresses me. They got all excited. They said they thought that they found ice. Woo! You know, I can go down to the ballpark and I can see ice down there in the ice machine. We're talking about the Earth. When they look back, when the astronauts look back and they see that beautiful Earth, it's the only one. Now that tells you something, does it not? God put that ball into space. He spoke it into existence. His power was manifested. You see the person of God in chapter 3. You see the power of God manifested not only in creation, but also in the flood. You see the upheaval there, where we find in verse 10, the mountain saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttereth his voice, and lifteth up his hands on high. You see that picture, that upheaval. The Bible says the fountains of the deep were broken up. And there's Habakkuk seeing all this stuff. He got to go back and see history over again. In history class today, we went back and we watched Nicholas II and his wife and their four beautiful girls and son, who all of them were killed by the Bolsheviks. And we were looking at the black and white footage, the only known footage of the family, live footage from 1917. They died in 1918. But I was talking to young people, that's almost 100 years ago. And you see that taking place. But think about Habakkuk. He got to be taken back to creation and then to the flood. And then he brought him up to more modern times where you see God judging the nations because of their wickedness and brings him all the way up to this moment in time where Babylon has surrounded Jerusalem and the nation is about to be taken captive, part of it down into Egypt as part of a deal with the Babylonians and the Egyptians, and part of them were going to be taken up to the north to Babylon. Now, how is Habakkuk going to deal with this? Notice, please, verse 16, when I heard my belly tremble. Now, the beginning of all of this was this, okay? The role of listening and resting in God's great deliverances. Sometimes you have to listen and rest and wait. He was going to have to wait a long time, 70 years, before God was going to allow the people to come back into the land. But the picture of this, I will listen and I will rest. Notice, when I, what? Heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. But notice the next few words. That I might rest in the day of trouble. All of this happened that I might rest in the day of trouble. We are in trouble in this world. Are you resting tonight? Boy, the chaos, the videos posted of murders and executions and all kinds of things that are happening. We've been studying this past week of Russia's history. We got an encapsulized in one chapter, went basically over the whole history of Russia in a nutshell, a bird's eye view. And thinking about 17 million people dying in Russia during just Stalin's rule. Lenin's rule, 7 million people lost their lives. Think about that. 24 million people died between 1917 and 1950 in Russia. 24 million people. Many of them starved to death. They didn't have any food. During the revolution, the farmers who were being forced into collectivism where they had to combine all their farms together and a government manager controlled all of that, they started burning their fields. They weren't going to give in. And as a result, the white Russians were then targeted by the red Russians. And you have turmoil. You have people herded into train cars. We thought Hitler was bad. Listen, Stalin in Russia killed more people than Hitler did. You don't hear a lot about that. Herded them in the train cars. Some of them were shipped up to Siberia where they died in the freezing cold. The rest of them were shot. Children, the pictures that we watch today of children that were shot after they were asked to go get some water for a Russian soldier, they'd go get it. When they came back, they shot them in the head. Disgusting, is it not? You think about that and what's lying ahead for the future. This world is unraveling. But what does that mean for you and me? What do we do? Do we worry and wring our hands? And what are we going to do? No, we rest in the Lord. Notice, he describes this kind of resting. Look at verse 17. Although, right, the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. In other words, the tree will labor to produce fruit, but it never produces. It's laboring, it's pumping forth water with its roots, and it's bringing about, it desires to put forth its olives, but it cannot, because God has cursed it. The field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will what? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? How can I do this? Why can I rejoice in the Lord? And why can I have joy in the midst of sorrow? Verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. My boys like to show me how good they can jump. Hey, Dad, can you touch this? And they'll jump up and touch something up high. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay? The Lord intended for people to walk on their 2 feet on the ground, not be jumping around trying to touch everything in the world. It's amazing how kids love to jump. They about beat to death all of our doorways all the way down, and they're jumping, wanting to jump. You have to say, no, knock it off. They want to jump. Show how high they can jump. They go down to a basketball rim. They want to jump up and touch the net or grab the net because none of our boys are tall enough to hit the rim. Well, I have to jump up and grab the net. Why? We would like to jump. Well, the Lord says, I will make your feet like deer. You ever watched a deer? Well, we got some beautiful deer that come out on campus from time and watch those little ones sail right over a fence as they bound along. God says, I'll make your feet like that. When will He make your feet like that? When you're resting in Him. When you're rejoicing in Him when everything else is falling apart. Listen, I think we've got it all wrong today. What we do is when we have sorrow, we run down to a psychologist. Or we run to a counselor. Or we line up for a program. And God has the program already laid out. What do? You rest in Him. It's high time that Christians stop troubling themselves with all the sorrows of this world and start resting in the Lord. When you rest, what does He promise? There's joy. When you rest, He'll make your feet like deer feet. You can just bound and you can move about. You won't be restricted by all the sorrows of this world. And notice what else? He will make my feet to walk where? On high places. Like up in the mountains, you'll be on high places because you're with God. That's what He does for His children. And then you know what He did? How He signs off on this? It almost sounds like the psalmist. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. This is a song. It's a song about creation, about God's might in the flood, God's power in judgment, and how God brought him from doubt to faith through a series of events in his life. As the world around him crumbled and as they were about to go into captivity, he said, I will rejoice in the Lord my God. Oh, how we need to rejoice. We've got too many sad-faced Christians today. They're worried about this and worried about that and worried about the stock market and worried about how we're going to be able to afford this, that, or the other. Are we going to have enough food or running out of food in some places? Walmart's not stocking up like it used to. I can't buy sugar-free pudding. What am I supposed to do? I guess I won't be eating sugar-free pudding. You know? Used to have it available. Can't find it anywhere. Where is it? Well, they're not stocking the shelves with it. They've cut back. There's a lot of things happening in this world that can cause fear in your heart or faith in your heart. What's it going to be? The fearful are not trusting in the written Word of God, in the authority of God's Word. The faithful have turned away from all that and said, Lord, You're going to have to take care of things. Lord, I want You to make my feet like deer feet where I can jump over all the sorrows of this world and jump right into Your presence. You ever thought of the rapture that way? It's a leaping from this earth into the arms of God. The dead in Christ shall rise, for they'll leap from this earth. They'll come forth out of the grave, and they'll bound right into His arms. And then we which are alive, we're going to bound right into His arms as well. We're going to be delivered. Are you resting in Him tonight? Listen, great deliverance has come to those who listen and rest. May we be that kind of people. The days are darkening, and you better be faithful. You better be trusting in the Lord. You get fearful, you start panicking, and doing like a man who had ordered 25 years worth of food. My mind was blown when I read that. He ordered 25 years worth of food to feed his family in the event of sorrow. I'm going to tell you something. We've got something better than that. We've got the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And He will take care of us. He will watch over us. Listen, whenever everybody finds out that He has 25 years worth of food, guess what's going to happen? Everybody in the neighborhood's going to be knocking on His door. And whenever He doesn't deliver, they'll say, stand and deliver. Because He'll be facing all kinds of guns pointing at Him. And all of His 25 years worth of food will be gone. Just like that. I feel sorry for people that are rushing out west, buying up property out there and building underground caverns. Because that's where they're going. When everything goes to pot, that's where they're going to run to. Listen, it won't last. The Lord will take that all away from them. He'll send a little boll weevil, or He'll send a worm in there, and it'll eat it all up, and it'll be all gone. Listen, we don't know how to plan unless we're dealing with the planner. This is the planner, and we better get in line with His plans. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your book. Oh, You are so wonderful to us, Father, by giving us Your Word, the Old and the New Testaments, revealing to us Your perfect plan. You are the great planner, and it's our responsibility not to come up with our own contingencies. Our responsibility is to get in line with Your plan. So I pray, Father, that You would help us to start listening and start resting and start rejoicing, all because You are our Savior and our Deliverer. Lord, help us in these days as the nations collapse, as the world turns against us, as it seems that we don't have much time left in the Christian school movement. We don't have much time left in what we have come to know as normal life in America. Those days are waning. I pray that You would help us to rest in Thee and not be troubled in heart. Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in Me. That's what You've told us in John 14. And may we be that kind of people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.